Welcome to Talk Wealth to Me, a safe space podcast where we chat about anything and everything related to personal finance.
The information contained in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute as accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Talk Wealth to Me. So many events, large-scale events, small events, sporting events, personal events that we take for granted that we are going to get to experience along our journey have been affected due to this COVID-19 pandemic, stay-at-home quarantine that we find ourselves in, including those that were possibly the biggest days of their lives, getting married. Today's guest, Jessica Bishop, is the founder of BudgetSavvyBride.com, and she discusses what that world looks like right now and the things that people are doing in spite of the pandemic.
I like all of your virtual background.
Hello, Jessica. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
We are
doing good.
I'm fantastic. We were just having we were getting all our sound levels and everything together, and we were all discussing our weddings and everything.
Aww.
And going, what would we do now if, you know, knowing what would my 34-year-old self have done if this was going on today?
It's such a crazy, crazy time. I feel terrible for anybody who's going through this right now, to be honest.
Fridge.
I do too. I'm so happy I'm married. And I had my honeymoon. I can't imagine if I had to restart my countdown over.
Oh my gosh. And like, I don't know if you guys saw, like, there is what, like, the thing about the phases of rolling things out time.
Yeah.
I was just reading over it just now, so I don't even have all the full details, but I feel like it's not looking good for events for like the next year.
No, that's like in phase four, right?
Yeah. Like I said, I only was reading over it this morning, so I don't even...
Is that the
like,
California one or the federal?
I think it's the federal one.
God, there's so many different guidelines I've been following right now. It's so hard to...
I know, and it's so dependent upon like what area of the country you're in right now. It's just, ugh.
Give us an idea. What is the wedding industry doing in this crazy scenario that we all find ourselves in right now? We were talking, I mentioned before, like, Katie just recently got married in the last, what was it, 2 years, Katie? Last year and a half?
Yeah, I got married in November 2018. Yeah, so I'm on year two, almost.
She's still
Steve
glowing.
Made it the hard, yeah. Hard part, right? They say year one is the hardest or whatever, but.
I think year one was easy. Like, everybody just seems to blow through it. I feel like year two is where you're like, okay, that's you. And I just need to figure out how to be okay with that tick or habit or whatever.
Right. My sister actually just got married in January. So just before all this happened, and she and her husband went to Italy on their honeymoon. Oh. So they were like there, like right before everything kind of blew up there. Luckily they made it back to the States before that all happened, but they're like in, you know, they're newlyweds and they're quarantined at home together. And I just keep getting the text updates of like, ooh, this is too much togetherness. This is really stressful.
I can't imagine being newly married and semi newly living together and then being together that much. That's just not natural. It's tough now after 15 years of marriage it's tough.
Yeah. I'm guessing you guys are all normally work together in an office, but are, you know,
yes,
working from home at this point. Yeah.
Which is actually why we wanted to have you on the show, because for several months we've been talking about, we need to have an episode talking about the cost of weddings, because before all of this happened, it seemed like article after article was talking about how the cost of weddings was just bubbling higher and higher and higher. I think I read that the average cost of a wedding in 2019 was like $34,000. And in New York City, which has been especially hit hard by all this COVID stuff, the average cost of a wedding was like $83,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
So So then COVID-19 hit and it just seemed to flip the wedding industry on its head. And so I think we should talk about that pink elephant in the room first, which is, you are the expert kind of on weddings. And I've been to your site personally and then also researching for this this episode. And it seems like your advice is when you get engaged, you need to sit down and figure out what's important to you. Is that what you would recommend right now for anybody who's planning a wedding? Is it just important to first just wrap your head around what just happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think that advice completely still applies in this new normal, this new phase of life that we're all kind of collectively living in together. I think it's more important than ever before to really think like what is actually important to us as individuals and as humans for our lives together, and who are the people who matter most to us? What are the aspects of getting married that truly matter in terms of like, you know, who do you want to be there? What are like the absolute non-negotiables and things like that? And getting really clear on those priorities, because basically right now you're being forced to pare down those things anyway when it comes to your celebrations. So it's still a really good exercise in kind of setting the tone for everything from the start.
Well, let's talk about that too, like what's important to you. And some couples have decided to move ahead with their wedding and have it on Zoom or live stream on Facebook. And they've said in some articles too, like, I realized the most important part of this day was me marrying my best friend or me finally marrying this person. If that happens to you, if you decide, you know what, I don't want to deal with all this chaos, what is the best way to communicate that to your guests?
Well, I think, excuse me, under the current circumstances, I think a lot of people are going to be super understanding. There's going to be physical limitations and travel limitations, obviously, involved with everyone being able to attend your events as you had originally planned them, if you were planning a more traditional celebration. And really just, you know, communicating with them, being clear, you know, obviously, like if you plan to postpone the bigger celebration up to a later date, you can do that through, you know, sending text messages or email blasts or updating your wedding website, whatever you need to do to kind of communicate that to your guests about the change in your plans. And yeah, if you want to invite them into the celebration virtually, like I love that idea. I've been seeing so many couples taking advantage of technology, and like, thank goodness we live in this day and age where people can still virtually be there and watch you and listen to you exchange those vows, even if they can't be there in person. You know, I just think, you know, at least we have that right now, you know.
What are the, I guess what I'm asking is, how has it become legal, so to speak, if you don't have, you know, the person there that marries you to sign the documents and do all that? I mean, if from a legal standpoint, you still need to get your marriage license and do all that stuff, the courthouse, what have you. But as far as the actual ceremony itself and having somebody marry you, do they physically have to be there?
I think it really depends state by state. It varies on like what the local laws are. But I don't know if you saw New York City recently like passed a bill allowing for virtual ceremonies to happen where the officiant actually doesn't have to be there in person. It can be done via Zoom or other video conferencing software. Obviously, you're still going to need to have like the appropriate like signing of the marriage license and having that taken care of and mail it in. But from what I understand in New York City, you can do that virtually.
So you could do like DocuSign or something like that?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure about like the specifics of it, but I know that there was just recently announcement, I think last week about it.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Well, it's cool too. Like, and you have some ideas too on your website, right? For how to decorate your space and make it feel like you're kind of at your wedding ceremony.
Yeah. I mean, another benefit of living in the times that we do, you can get pretty much anything you need online and have it shipped straight to your house. I personally, on our website, I love to share those sorts of like alternative resources for couples, places where you can like rent floral arrangements or, you know, backdrops. You could literally set up like a a backdrop stand and have, you know, a beautiful backdrop to stand in front of when you exchange your vows for Zoom. Or like you guys are doing on our call right now, a virtual background on Zoom also is a great option. So,
oh yeah, I saw that people were inputting like famous cathedrals where they always had maybe wanted to get married but never could afford it, or just locations, and now they're adding that to their Zoom background.
Yeah, I mean, you could technically reach out to your wedding venue and ask for some photos of their property and pretend like you were actually where you were supposed to be on the day of.
Well, that's a great idea.
Katie, you're still on the beach.
I am, yeah. It's a different beach, but I'm always there. So let's go back to the Zoom events too, because I wasn't even thinking about this, but weddings are, it's more than one day. I know people always say you get the one day, but there's bachelorette parties, there's bachelor parties, there's bridal showers. There's just so many different events that go into this. And I saw people were actually even having those pre-wedding activities virtually as well too.
Yeah. And, I personally just received an invitation to a virtual bridal shower in the next few weeks. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, I think, you know, at this time, what choice do we really have? And when you're considering, you know, just not celebrating at all versus finding a solution and making it work for you and still finding a way to make it special and fun and have those connections with the people who matter most to you, I think, like, do it, you know?
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What have you seen as far as maybe clients or friends or people that you work with that kind of percentage-wise, which way are people going? I would imagine that there's going to be some that decide, you know what, I've had this dream of being this wedding my whole life. And how many are like thinking about just getting officially married now for if they want to start a family or they want to do things like that and then pushing it off a year from now maybe?
Right. Yeah. I think I saw a report from, I believe, The Knot that came out like within the last couple of weeks. And they said basically that 90-95% of people are postponing their celebrations for a later date, the bigger, grander celebrations that they had originally planned for. But they didn't really go into the specifics of like what percentage of people are still choosing to maybe elope or have a small intimate ceremony at home during this time. But I personally, like, I have a Facebook group that's very, very active. There's close to, I think, 12,000 brides and grooms in there. And so we've had obviously a lot of chatter going on in there right now about everyone's plans and what they're doing. And I'm seeing a lot of intimate at home celebrations, especially for those like over the last month or so had already gotten their marriage license. And they're like, well, we already paid for the license, might as well just go ahead and, you know, get this taken care of. And I think there's a lot of like logistical and like practical reasons that people are moving forward with those plans right now too, because of, you know, health insurance policies, like needing to join their partner's health insurance or something like that. So, you know, I think you do what works for you. It's unfortunate, I think, that, you know, the couples who are planning a little bit farther out, like into the fall and winter, are having a little bit of a harder time with rescheduling and keeping like deposits and stuff in place if they do plan to shift their plans. So it's definitely a tricky time for couples right now and for the wedding businesses who they're working with as well.
Do you have advice for couples who do have that fall wedding? I know for us, we have a friend that's getting married in September, and while the wedding is going to be in the US, it's set to take place in Maryland, and we're in California. So flying across the country may not be a possibility for us. And just even thinking about our friends, if there was to be a round two of a stay-at-home order, not all of us would be able to quarantine for 2 weeks or be able to, you know, miss work for that amount of time. Some of us haven't had work, and so we don't really know what we can afford to do in the fall. What should, I guess, wedding guests or brides and grooms who are maybe expecting a lot of out-of-town guests, should they be communicating now with their guests as to, like, I guess, should you even, if you don't know what you're going to do with your wedding, should you just even start talking to your guests, like, if you're scared, it's okay, you don't have to come? Like, should you start removing that pressure, or do you have any advice, I guess?
Yeah, I think in these circumstances, like, communication is so key. And, you know, obviously, you know, no matter what you want, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I'm like a little froggy today. you want the, you know, the health and safety of your guests, your loved ones, your family and friends to be first priority. Obviously, you don't want to put anybody in any sort of risk or danger. Or, you know, for me, like, our focus on the Budget Savvy Bride is a lot about, you know, ways to save money and being responsible with your finances and things like that. And so you have to take your guests' budgets into account as well as their health and safety. And so I think the important thing in this situation is really to just be, like, understanding and compassionate under the circumstances. Obviously, in an ideal world, like, everyone would be there and they would, you know, be able to celebrate with you. But the unfortunate reality of the situation, you know, is it might just not be possible. So just being gracious and understanding under the circumstances. I know it can be so hard. I literally feel it in my heart, like, for all these couples who are having to make these really tough decisions right now.
And I would imagine the stress levels for the people that are in the wedding parties would be even tougher, in the fact that you don't want to let your friend down, but yet you might be in the same situation as most, you know, your typical guest would find themselves in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think nowadays a lot of people, you know, move out of state for college or for jobs and things like that. And they tend to have loved ones scattered all around the country and sometimes even overseas. So you just never know. And again, I think being understanding and compassionate and gracious under the circumstances, like, nobody wants this to be our reality. And, you know, just trying to be kind to one another and understanding when those things happen.
So, speaking of financially savvy weddings, this, I mean, I guess if you were going to look at a positive point, which we've been looking at the negatives, I guess this is a way that they can save quite a bit of money on their wedding, at least to this date.
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously the size restrictions are going to come into play, whether it's, you know, just the people who are downsizing to this immediate family, like groups of 10 or less under these current restrictions, or even those who are planning a bit farther out. I don't think we're going to be able to see events over 50 open up for quite some time. So looking at smaller guest lists, more intimate events, and usually that yields, yes, less cost overall. Although, you know, if you look at it from the other side, if you have a smaller guest list, you can kind of treat those people who do attend to a better experience with the money that you have. So.
Speaking of on the cost of things too, I know you mentioned that you have some silk flower vendors that you work with, and they're gorgeous too. If you haven't seen the videos, you need to watch them. But I've read too, like, the flower availability for weddings has changed, and that there are entire types of flowers that just are not available right now. And the cost of what is available has just skyrocketed.
I've read a bit of that myself. Yeah. And I know that some of the supply chains where flowers are concerned, especially like shipping them from other countries and stuff, has really put a kink in things. And so if you are looking for, you know, beautiful wedding flowers and you maybe can't get the fresh ones that you're wanting, a really great resource that I love and I work with all the time is Something Borrowed Blooms. And they are a silk flower rental company based in Louisiana. And they ship all across the country via FedEx. And their arrangements are beautiful, and they have a bunch of different styles to check out. So I really, really love that as an option. And it's become increasingly flexible as well to work with them, because you can kind of do it on a shorter time frame. So if you are making that decision to, like, stay home and you want to have an at-home wedding, but you still want to make it feel nice and special and all those things, like, it's a great option to check out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would imagine because more people are postponing and everything, and the whole thing has slowed down, the whole industry has slowed down, you could probably score some good deals on some of these things, because you might be the only wedding that they're working on this week. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen as well, like, in our Facebook group, there's a large number of vendors who've joined and have been sharing, you know, even the venues. I feel like venues are obviously, they're one of the ones with, like, hard costs. They have mortgages to pay and you know, event staff and things like that. And so I've seen some places offering like pop-up weddings, like very intimate, like, you know, just the two of you, even just an elopement, but you can come and you can have a small event there at their location for a very, very budget savvy price, which I think is great. So yeah, I think in these times, I've also seen some really creative stuff too with like photography. One of the couples in our Facebook group shared, they did a virtual engagement photo session with their photographer this week, which was the first time I've seen anything like this. And they did it basically via FaceTime on their phone. The photographer told them where to put the phone and how to like stand and take the photos, and they shared them. And we're going to do a blog post about this like in the coming weeks, so you'll have to check it out. But they look really cool and like grainy and like very, very cool, like almost vintage style photos, but they were gorgeous. I couldn't believe it. I was like, they did this on FaceTime? Like what?
Wow.
So yeah, I think, and they're doing these virtual sessions, obviously for very affordable prices as well. So there's lots of things you can take advantage of right now. And I think people, businesses especially, are really trying to get creative and figure out how they can still serve those couples, even though we have these restrictions on in-person events.
What about venues that have been obviously postponed and they're sitting back and they had all their dates booked? How are venues handling this for the most part that you've seen? I know you obviously can't speak for all of them, but for the majority, how do you think they're going about handling like just moving dates? I mean, how do they do that?
It seems to be very, very case by case from what I understand. I've seen like one end of the spectrum where couples are like, oh my, you know, with the ones that have been in this kind of introductory period that we're in with the March, April, May weddings, which have been officially impacted by the current restrictions. Obviously, those venues don't really have a lot of choice. Like it's beyond their control, depending on what their contracts say. You know, it's an event beyond their control, and they are being more accommodating with the couples in terms of rescheduling and planning for later dates. But the couples who have like summer weddings and fall weddings who are already feeling nervous and thinking maybe we would just be better off postponing this until 2021 when we're a bit more in the clear. In those cases, from what I've understood, a lot of venues and vendors are being a little bit more, maybe not more, but less accommodating when it comes to those changes, because obviously like their spring revenue has been impacted immensely. And then by allowing changes to happen in the fall, they're basically taking away their fall revenue, and then couples are wanting to rebook for those prime dates in 2021. It's just like from a business perspective and from a staying afloat perspective, it just doesn't really work financially. And so it's such a hard situation, I feel, for both sides, because obviously nobody wants to be in this situation. The vendors really want to be able to have these events and like show the couples the day that they were always planning for, but it's just such a difficult situation under the circumstances, especially since there's so little that we know for certain about what things are going to be like in the fall and beyond.
It's interesting that you mentioned contracts, because so many contracts have clauses and things, but I don't know that there's, you know, there may not be one for something like, I got married about 3 years ago, and I can honestly say I didn't read any of the contracts in great detail. So I have no clue what cancellation policies were. I was just like, it's going to happen this day, and let's just, yes, sign it. And
I'm not going to say a typical groom, but.
Well, I don't think my wife read them either, or at least not that far into it. You know, we got the highlights. You know, they may, is there, I guess, would this fall under any certain categories where they may, if they're not able to have it, they can postpone it? I'm thinking like airlines, where if the airline has to cancel your flight, you automatically get a refund. Are there things like that? Or is that just, like you mentioned, more case by case?
Right. So I think the clause that you're thinking of in particular, especially with venues, is like called the force majeure clause. Correct. And it has to do with like acts of God and things that are beyond your control. And those are the things that you want to look for in your contracts. If you have some in place and you're kind of worried about maybe needing to shift your plans. So in this case, like from how I understand it, which I'm not a lawyer, so consult your attorney if you need specific advice on your situation. But you know, the events that have been impacted by the current restrictions, like, you know, the government has said like no events over 50 people, no gatherings of over 10 people, whatever the case might be in your area, those would fall under force majeure because it is out of either party's control. But I have a feeling that, you know, going forward, we're going to see some changes in contracts. And from what I understand, a lot of vendors and venues are in the process of revising their contracts to better protect their businesses at this time. So you're going to want to review those contracts very thoroughly if you're planning an event and you haven't yet signed with vendors. So.
Would this be a good opportunity for brides and grooms to look into wedding insurance?
Yeah, I think it's still something that I always recommend looking into. The policies are relatively affordable depending on the size of your event, obviously. But in light of everything that's going on, it's another thing that these companies are revising their policies in light of everything that's going on with our current crisis. So I don't know that you'll be able to find a policy that's going to cover you when it comes to coronavirus related cancellations at this time, unfortunately. But if you had a policy pre-existing to this becoming a global situation, you were probably covered. But moving forward, I don't know that you would be.
Yeah, I would imagine that they're not taking those right
yeah.
now. It would be kind of
wouldn't be a wise business decision.
Right,
for
it'd be
the
trying to get
company.
Tornado insurance right after a tornado hit, or the wildfires out here in California. Very difficult to do once the act of God has happened. Going back to force majeure, you're exactly right. We had my daughter's elementary school foundation. We had an event planned in April, and we saw the writing on the wall. And unfortunately, I was the person that put it together, and I had to use the force majeure clause as our exit strategy, even before they literally closed down the state. And they were very accommodating. They understood. And then we just decided that we would give them half of our down payment to try to, you know, at least show good faith and that they would do it again. But I think that would be the case with most of these types of venues.
Yeah, it's just such an unfortunate situation at the moment.
You know, I remember reading all my wedding contracts and I remember that verbiage and just searching my brain for like, well, what would an example of this be? So happy I made it through without having to be affected.
Yeah. From what I understand here in Florida, it becomes a big issue with hurricane season. And so generally people aren't getting married, you know, as much during that time of year. But I think, you know, that's something that comes into play in certain areas of the country.
So at the probably. Same time, though, if we were in normal circumstances, that would still, I would imagine that those types of venues during hurricane season would have, it would be a little bit cheaper, like an off season almost.
Probably. Yeah. I think there's definitely a seasonal price difference just depending on your area, whether it's hurricane season or whether it's, you know, winter and really, really cold places of the country. So, It's definitely worth looking into off-season rates to save money.
Knowing what you know, and obviously this is a very personal thing, but what would your recommendations be for people that are in this situation if they really wanted to have that wedding experience?
So if you still have that vision in your mind of having the big celebration that you've always dreamed of, like, you can still do that. I would just recommend holding off for a while. You know, if you don't want to put off actually getting married, go ahead and do something intimate and small at home and have the bigger celebration later. I really do think that once this is all over, people are going to be clamoring for something to celebrate, a reason to get out and be around the people they love. Like, they're still going to want to celebrate with you when this is all over. So maybe just like put a pin in it, especially if you haven't begun booking anything yet. It might just be a good idea to kind of hold off and wait things out a little bit longer.
We were having this conversation before you came on, but it's so interesting the different pulls that you might have. Like, there's a lot of families in the world where weddings are rite of passage, and in-laws and parents have say so in the weddings and who gets invited. And it's a social standing thing. A lot of cases, the people that are getting married don't have all the choices in the world. It's gotta be a very interesting dynamic how that's all going on right now. And have you seen any of that in your Facebook pages and in those kinds of things?
Yeah, for sure. I always say, you know, when you accept outside donations from like your family members and your loved ones to put towards your wedding budget, you're also inviting their opinions and their control over certain aspects of the event. And so, you know, my advice for couples is always to like weigh those things when you're deciding whether or not to accept those funds. But yeah. To be honest, like I have had a large number recently of like mothers of the bride and groom joining the Facebook group because they think that one thing should be done and the couple feels differently, whether that's, postponing completely or, going ahead and getting married now and then having the bigger celebration later. So, I do think that, it's a conversation that's definitely happening more. And I think so many, depending on where you live and depending on, where your families might be, everybody's kind of experiencing what's happening right now in different ways, especially in different areas of the country. And so there can be some discrepancies in like how seriously certain people are taking it versus others. And so I think that's also creating some friction as well.
And obviously weddings in a lot of circles are very religious based. And the idea of being married before God, churches, a lot of them are closed. I mean, I would imagine that is throwing kind of a wrinkle in things as well, because it's beyond just the legal aspect of it with a lot of people.
Right. Yeah, for sure. With church buildings being closed and, official church services being restricted and stuff in certain areas, I definitely think that's probably playing a big part and, might cause couples to, just consider postponing. But especially for couples who maybe are religious and aren't living together yet and they're, life is short. Like, who knows what's going to happen with this pandemic? Like, let's get married and spend time together instead of spending time apart, those sorts of things. So it really just depends on, your personal situation and what you want to do. But it's a tricky situation, I think, where the church stuff is concerned, for sure.
Do you have advice for couples who do decide to push back their wedding date? Maybe they wanted that in-person church wedding. What should they do the day of when their wedding was supposed to happen and it's not happening?
Yeah, I think there are still like nice ways to kind of celebrate the day, even if you decided to just postpone it entirely, whether it's, getting together and sharing a meal together. I mean, if you're quarantined with your partner, that's different. Obviously you're going to be together already, but if you're living separately, it could be a little bit tricky, with the current like social distancing stuff in mind. So you could do, like a FaceTime date or a Zoom date, or, you could do a drive-by in your cars, like, go to a drive-in movie. Like, who knows? Like, I think you just, at this time, you got to get creative and like do whatever you can. And maybe like get your, wedding cake baker to send over some cupcakes to each of you, and you can have like a little ceremonial cupcake cutting.
Yeah,
I'm like, say that fast,
tripping over my words. Yeah, right. but yeah, I think we've shared a few different ideas on the blog of things that couples have done so far, and just make it personal and make it about you. Like, I really encourage couples who are going through these times together to just really lean on each other right now. I think if you can survive, your relationship can survive a global pandemic and all the chaos that it is throwing at your life right now, like you can weather any storm together, truly.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying, even for those couples that are married, trying to make this as normal as possible and having that right frame of mind is great. And Jessica, you are amazing. Your knowledge is incredible. How did you get into this side of things. I mean, you can hear the passion coming through our Zoom right now. Kind of give us a little bit of a background. How did you become the expert you are?
It's kind of a long and rambling story, but my first job out of college, I went to school for graphic design and journalism, and my first job out of college was for a local wedding magazine. So I became very immersed in the world of weddings. I was talking with vendors all the time and interviewing them for profiles in the magazine and things like that. And it was just so interesting how passionate and creative wedding vendors are, and how much they love what they do. And I feel the same way. And after working there, actually at that time, I got engaged and began planning my own wedding. And then the 2008-2009 recession happened. I lost my job and got laid off. And so I kind of had to get creative in terms of like making money and paying for this wedding. And at the same time, I had started my blog and I was kind of sharing the ideas that I was coming up with along the way. And it was just very much like a firsthand experience, an account of my experience and ideas that I'd come up with to save money. And at the same time, I was freelancing. I literally have probably had every single job in the wedding industry you could imagine. I have worked at a wedding cake bakery. I have worked for like catering companies doing like cater waitering when I needed extra money. I also assisted a wedding photographer for a couple of years, second shooting with her at weddings. So I got to see every aspect of the day from that angle as well. And I've also, you know, helped with day of coordination. And, you know, I went through the whole process as a bride myself. And basically by the time I got married, I had kind of amassed a bit of a following with the website, and just decided, like, instead of keeping it a personal journal, because like I'm not that interesting, but I thought I could turn the platform into a place to share other couple stories and how, you know, they prioritized different aspects of, you know, their wedding day to fit their values for their lives and for their financial futures, and plan weddings on a budget that are much, much less than what is publicized as the national average, which, I mean, you mentioned, you know, earlier that, you know, it's widely shared that the national averages are, you know, above $30,000. But on our website, I have kind of made the decision, like, we only publish weddings that are like $20,000 or less. And so not only did we make that decision, but we also interview the couples and they actually share how much they spend on every different part of their wedding. And so it's really unique when you go and look at other wedding blogs. You're like, it might say like, oh, this was a DIY wedding, but actually it was planned by a professional and it probably costs like $40,000 or $50,000, and it looks like Pinterest dreams, but a professional made all those things and executed that event. And that's not at all the case with the stuff that we feature on our site. It's a lot of couples who take a, you know, a DIY approach. They're doing lots of things themselves. They're getting help from family and friends. They kind of use what I like to call as like the it takes a village approach to planning a wedding. And so I've been doing this now, running the site for actually it turns 12 on next week, which is crazy. And
congratulations on that. That's impressive. 12
Thank
years.
You. Thank you so much. It really is a passion project for sure. And I just feel like it's so empowering to see what other people are able to make happen on whatever budget is that they have, you know, how far they can stretch it, how they can make it work for them. And I just think it's really cool to like elevate other people's stories and share that with couples who are currently planning. So I said that was a long, rambly story. So.
It actually was so exciting. I almost want to get married again. And do, no. when we renew our vows, I'll do something.
That would there be you fun. Go.
But where can people find you? As they're just, you know, they got a lot of time on their hands and they want to plan for the future. Where can they find you? What's the best place to get even involved with your Facebook group?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is thebudgetsavvybride.com. We also have a really active group on Facebook. It's called Budget Savvy Wedding Planning. And there's also my book, which is actually the number one best-selling wedding planning book on Amazon. It's called The Budget Savvy Wedding Planner and Organizer. You see, they're all like named the same.
Quality branding.
Yeah. And then on Instagram, I'm pretty active as well, at Much's Happy Bride. So.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'd love to have you back under normal circumstances so we can really discuss and get down and dirty about how to save during normal times with our impending nuptials. So yeah. Thank you for being here today with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was super, super great to chat with you guys.